Tampa Bay's TAN Talk. Entertaining and informative radio for the Sunshine State.
Welcome to Go Yard with Mama Mac, helping you to hit a home run in life when you feel like striking out.
All right, it's that time again, guys. It's time for Go Yard and hit a home run, and that's what we're all about on this show. I'm Mama Mac, and along with me is my wonderful, famous, highly educated, did you know that, Bobby? Highly educated.
That remember? I didn't know.
Yeah, remember, like, two bachelors, two masters, and
loves, and it wasn't enough.
And it wasn't enough, and she had to become a PhD, licensed mental health counselor, and she likes to knit.
Absolutely.
Right?
You guys are never going to let me live
we
that
We are
down.
Never letting that, no, that's never going away, Dr. Angel, because it is too weird. So anyway, we're glad to be here with you, live in the studio as always. Bobby's in the control room, and he can take calls if you want to call in, 727-441-3000, 727-441-3000, and the Google Voice comes straight to my phone right here, and it's 727-888-4171. A lot of you text during the show, and I try to look at it as often as I can and get your comments in. And as always, we want you to check out our website, goyard2014@goyard2014.org. And the email is goyard2014@gmail.com. And our shows are on the weekends at noon Eastern, right?
Yes, ma'am. Saturdays and Sundays.
There you go.
StarComRadioNetwork.com.
I just wanted to test you, Dr. Angel, and see if you knew those
I'm
four words.
I'm on it tonight, man.
You are. And I got this amazing email from the CEO and owner of StarCom Radio Network, Bobby, a couple days ago. And he is starting this Saturday night, Sunday night thing for a few weeks, and he is binging some of the more popular shows, and ours were chosen for this coming weekend, Saturday and Sunday. This is pretty cool, audience. Saturday and Sunday. Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah. Yes, this show, Go Yard, and our Sunday afternoon God show, Living the Good Life. They are playing 16 hours straight Saturday night and Sunday night coming up. 16 hours both nights and alternating our shows. I mean, some of his favorite ones that he's got in his queue, you know.
There. Boy, he's got a lot of podcasts to listen to, doesn't he?
Well, he's got them because, you know, every week mm-hmm. he picks them up. So mm-hmm. he's got a whole lot of them over the last year and a half since we've been with StarComRadioNetwork.com. So he said, I am doing this marathon and you guys are up for this weekend. So we want our audience to go to StarComRadioNetwork.com. Our current weekly shows will still be on same time this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, 10 a.m. for our Sunday show and 12 noon for this show. But in addition, it is our weekend to be up for binge listening to Living the Good Life and Go Yard on StarComRadioNetwork.com beginning at 4 p.m. Eastern, going to 8 a.m. Saturday night and Sunday night. 16 hours, that's 32 hours of programming.
Wow.
Is that totally crazy?
That's totally cool.
I can't think of 32 hours of programming here.
When I got that email, I called him and I said, you got to be kidding. And he goes, nope. We're just taking our... Last week he did Lori that's on here. She's on StarCon with us.
Tonight, yeah.
And last weekend she was the 16-hour segments.
Wow.
Yeah, her shows.
That's cool.
Isn't that great?
That's really cool.
So listen, folks, StarComRadioNetwork.com. Let's get to business tonight. All right. We are going on with part two of where we started last week, moving on after heartache. Why did we even do this topic, Dr. Angel Falzoni?
Well, first of all, I think it's a topic that we all will experience and have experienced probably multiple times during our lifetime.
Heartache.
Heartbreak. Yes. It is. It's a topic. And it can happen in so many ways. And it can happen through our romantic relationships or our kids or our family or our friendships. You know, a lot of things can break our heart.
Loss of loved ones.
Absolutely. And so we're taking this topic because I just think it's relevant. And I think it's something that we can relate to.
I agree.
And helping us move on. A lot of times we get stuck in it. It's hard.
We definitely get stuck. It's easy to get stuck because we're grieving so often. And we can, you know, we get into that cycle of feeling so bad and depressed, and especially right away after a heartbreak, you know, whether it be the loss of a relationship or a death of a spouse or somebody close to you or whatever that heartbreak is, it really has effects for a long time on a lot of people, and they can get into a rut of staying right there, right?
Well, they can. You know what? A lot of times it's hard to reach out for help to the people in our lives because they don't know what to do. They want to fix it and make it better.
And that's
not how we get through this.
Right.
And so sometimes people will back off from us because they're just not sure how to help us. And so it's even more alienating for us. So that's why we're taking this topic. It's a challenging
one. I've heard many people say through the years, being a pastor, I've done a lot of funerals, and I have seen people, a week or two later, gosh, I didn't see you at the funeral home. I thought you might come, and I didn't know what to say.
Absolutely.
Is the response. And I said, but just your presence there would have helped. But I think this is where a lot of people are, Doctor. They feel insecure about their ability to communicate consolation or comfort or
to hear pain.
Yeah. Sometimes it is overwhelming to hear and really. Isn't it good just to be there for people?
You know, it's funny you say that. You know, I train therapists as part of my job outside of here. And the biggest thing I always tell them is that the most significant thing you can do is the act of being.
Right.
It's about being. It's about your presence.
Right.
It's not about the right words. It's not about being able to fix it. It's just being with somebody through those really difficult, challenging, emotional times. They just need presence.
And, you know, there are some people, I believe, after heartbreak that isolate and become like little hermits and don't go out, don't do anything, try their best not to talk to their friends. Maybe part of that is, you know, embarrassment if it's a relationship breakup, or they are feeling sorry for themselves. I don't know. You can answer any of that.
There's a lot of reactions. And another one is where they just dive into something else and they haven't dealt with what just happened.
You mean another relationship?
Another relationship.
Oh, that's common.
They
with
dive
people.
Forward. And
they dive forward?
They do. They dive. It's like jumping off the cliff kind of thing.
All right.
They're just going for it. They don't know if that water's shallow or deep, but they're just going. And
because they think that'll take care of the pain,
that's going to stop it. Absolutely.
And stop the bleeding,
what
but
we're
it
doing
doesn't.
Is we're compacting
yes.
and making things more complex for ourselves. And so there is a grieving process when we have heartbreak. If that heartbreak is loss of a romantic relationship, divorce, death, things with our children, you know, loss of dreams with our children
yes.
can definitely be that heartbreak.
Yes.
Friendships, you know, those types of things do break our hearts.
Right.
And there is a grieving process, and we have to go through it
yes.
to move on.
One of my only daughter, you know, for years had struggled with addictions, and that was a tremendous heartbreak. And times visit was very difficult for me to talk about when things were happening, you know, and critical things. And it was almost like I just don't want anybody to say anything to me about it, you know, although that's not always the best thing. A lot of times it's good to get it out and talk about what you're feeling, don't you think?
We do need to get it out, but we do need to be guarded with how we get it out and with whom we get it out. You know, if we start just sharing these really deep, intimate feelings, which is anyone, you know, we're giving them opportunity to run away and,
yes,
and bring judgment or cause further harm. And so we do need to be careful who we share those very intimate feelings with, but we should have somebody we can be that honest
I think
with.
We made that point last week about getting therapy, or which is excellent, of course, and there's nothing we can say about that that's bad. It's just wonderful to get therapy and to be able to talk to people, to someone that you can trust, because there is that privileged information confidentiality thing there. But so often with friends or relatives or people around us, it's almost like, you know, it's just that that need for people to talk about things and gossip, and it can make things, it can make your situation worse.
Well, that's one definitely of the vulnerabilities, is the gossip factor.
Right.
And, you know, we kind of live in that gossip culture right now. You know,
the media
just cannot wait to tell you the next divorce and the next separation and the next this and the next that. And so we kind of are getting programmed in that once we get this juicy information, we need to be the ones to share it. But it's not even just the gossip factor. Sometimes when we share with friends, they think they need to tell us what to do.
Right.
Or they need to guide our path, or they can judge or criticize what's happening too. And that's not helpful either.
Right.
And
right.
So finding that person that can be a confidant, who can just hear you.
Exactly. And speaking of social media, which we seem to talk about almost every show because it's a vital part of our lives now.
It is.
Some people can go so too far, Doctor, on social media with airing their dirty laundry, for heaven's sake. We don't need to hear about your spouse's fight or you know, or that he's not paying child support or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
We do. We need to still have private things need to remain private.
Bobby's shaking his head. You must have too much of that, too.
No, we don't want to see it.
We don't.
And, you know, you do all the time. You know, all of a sudden you'll see these feeds feeling angry and,
right,
you know, baiting what's happening. And that's not how we handle that either.
No,
you know,
we have to be careful with social media.
When we go through a breakup, really the best thing to do is take that person off your social media.
Yes.
Because you don't need to see what's going on or how they're moving on. Because it's just going to make your process challenging.
Exactly.
And sometimes we need that space so we can heal. It doesn't mean you can't go back and have a friendship with that person at another point. But when you're in the healing process and you just see their name come up in your news feed, it's like taking, you know, opening that cut wound back up.
Yeah, it hurts
and
sometimes.
We need it to heal.
Especially if they are talking about a new relationship, let's say, or whatever. That could be hurtful for people.
But think about social media. I talk to kids and people all the time. You know, it's public information, even if your settings are set to private. You can find anything that somebody has posted on social media. It's really not hard to do because I have limited computer skills and I can do it. So if I can do it, I think almost anyone probably could. And so what you're putting out public, it's very... We have to be guarded with what we're putting out
public. We have
to
be careful. Yeah, absolutely. So last week, I just want to recap a couple things before we get into new things and talk about tonight. But we talked about the importance of grieving the relationship.
Yes.
We talked a lot last week about spousal type relationships, boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife. But I also think we can bring this into losing a loved one.
Oh, yes.
Because this is one of the hardest things in life to deal with, I think, that especially when we lose our parents. It's almost like there is that, whoa, okay, they're gone. That generation, that is gone, you know. In our family, that's happened. You know, I'm the oldest in our family now. You know, the matriarch, quote, unquote. Do I look like a matriarch, Bobby?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna.
You're not taking
no
the fifth.
Just not gonna talk about. I have 11 grandchildren.
Okay.
So.
Okay. Good. All good.
Right.
Good.
So that there you go. But you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
That when our parents or a spouse passes away, or your best friend or whatever, it's you got to grieve it, Doctor. You got to grieve it.
Anytime there's a heartbreak, and however
yes.
that heartbreak happened, there's a grieving process
right.
that happens. And we have to feel and let our heart go through.
Yeah.
Too often we try to silence it. You know, we'll try to anesthetize it, you know, and go drink or do things that will take that pain away or try to avoid it or ignore it. A lot of times people, they'll pack up and just move to a new city.
a geographic cure?
They're looking for it. And I'm like, you're taking it with you.
Yeah.
You're not leaving your heart behind. It's there. Right. And we have to go through it to come out healthy on the other end.
Yes.
And it's hard and it hurts. But any loss of a heartbreak is a loss.
And don't you think the grieving part of that loss is meant to happen in our lives? It's something that we need to do, right? Not just bury it in the sand, forget it, act like it didn't happen. Or when somebody brings up mom's name or somebody's name, don't talk about her, you know, or whatever. That's not healthy either.
No, it is not. We do need to be able to grieve it. And everyone grieves differently and for different periods of time. And it looks different. And so for some people, they need to be more expressive. And so when we have multiple people, like with death, a lot of people are experiencing that grieving process.
Right.
So some people aren't ready to talk about that person. And so it's finding somebody who is willing or is at that place where they can talk. And if you don't have someone who knew them, then you can find someone who maybe didn't, but can still hear what your heart needs to express.
Exactly. So express it.
Express it. Yes. Absolutely.
We talked a little bit last week about reflecting over the situation, thinking about it, because it's been my experience as listening as a counselor, pastoral counselor, not licensed like you, but listening to people that have these deeply entrenched, painful memories of a past relationship or the loss of somebody close to them or whatever the heartbreak is. And when you say, okay, what have you done? This was how long ago? 25 years ago or 45 years ago. Okay. And what happens when you think about this now? And it's like they're stuck in that moment. The sore. It's like an open wound that won't heal. And I have talked to a lot of people like this. I want you to address that whole thing.
Well, reflecting gives us the opportunity, first of all, not only for healing, but for growth.
Okay.
You know, anytime there's a heartbreak, if it's a relationship or whatever, there's things that we're going to need to do to heal. And so when we look at a relationship, it helps us to appreciate the things that were good.
Okay.
Most every relationship has some quality that was good. That's why it became a relationship.
Right.
Well, depends on how the relationship to what those are. But there are good things. And to look back and appreciate the good.
Right.
You know, we might not be able to identify the negative, but we don't want to just keep the microscope on all the bad. We want to grow through it. So looking at things of, you know, why am I feeling this heartbreak? What is it I'm missing? Do I really just miss this person? Or am I afraid of being alone? Am I afraid of losing, you know, the pillar of our family? And what does that mean for me? What is really under my loss that I'm feeling? So it helps us to get through it when we can kind of peel it back a little bit.
And those are good questions to ask, write down. Like we talked last week about having a journal, which I am big on that because I do it and it's a blessing. But when you write down, you know, a question, you know, what am I feeling about this? And then that kind of crystallizes it, doesn't it? It makes it front and center in your thought life. And now you're thinking, okay, I need to think about this, you know. How has this loss impacted me? What can I do different in the next relationship?
Absolutely, let's say, if it's relationship.
If there is one after that. But it
helps us to learn and grow. Learn about ourselves.
Right.
And it helps us to grow through it and to heal through it. And so reflecting is a really important part of that whole grieving process.
It certainly is, yeah.
One of the things people lose in that process is the self-care. And we want to make sure we're continuing taking care of ourselves. And you need to be extra good to yourself when you're going through really strong emotions like grief and loss are, because it's easy to kind of try to ignore taking care of ourselves, but our body needs more time. We're going to be forgetful. We're not going to remember where we put our keys or if we picked up everything at the grocery store.
Because, okay, that's a good point.
Just neurochemically, what's happening to our brain with grief and loss, it definitely affects your ability to concentrate, focus, and memory.
Okay.
So take give yourself extra time. Have extra patience. Do things for you to take care of you.
Rest, more rest.
Whatever those things that feed you, spa, hanging out with friends.
Good ideas.
Journaling, going into nature. Everyone has those things that feed them.
Kayaking for me helps tremendously just to get my mind off of everything. Get out
there
in nature.
Absolutely. You know, it's so funny because I have, you know, I'm a big Amy Grant fan. I have my Amy Grant playlist when I'm really feeling, and it's like this thing that just feeds my inside.
You know her. My gosh, she's your friend.
And when I put that playlist on,
she's famous.
Like,
Amy Grant.
Bring her on in.
I know. Angel and I went to one of her concerts a few months back.
Nice.
Oh, that was great. She's go ahead.
Yes, but that's just that thing that feeds me. And so and find those things that do that. You know, this is an important time to keep connected with a support system.
Yes, absolutely.
We can't hold back from that.
And that goes back to the point I made earlier that I've seen so many people isolate and just stay away from people because, and when I'd say you need to come to church or you need to come to this support group we have or whatever, they'd say, no, I don't want anybody to know that I'm feeling this way. But that's just the wrong approach, isn't it, really?
You need to do it when you don't feel it.
Wrong and right, but right?
When you don't feel like it's usually when you need to do it the most.
That's exactly right.
And so we sometimes have to push through. You know, and then it's okay to have fun.
Right.
Even when we're grieving, even if it's a death, it's still okay to enjoy our life. And it's that we don't have to, you know, wear that glum face and, you know, make sure we're not having fun. It is okay. We don't have to deny pleasure. It's okay to have fun.
Right.
We're living and we're celebrating life.
Right.
And it's okay to have those moments. We need those moments.
Right.
That's part of our healing process is to have those moments. So.
Right.
And then perspective. You know, we're all about the P word, perspective.
Right, we are.
You know, and it's how you're viewing yourself in this situation. Am I the victim? That means I don't have power. I've given my power to someone else. Or I'm just going through a difficult time, and now I can take back my power and have more power in my healing and with my emotions. And so it's kind of how are you looking at this?
Okay, a question that came up, and I am just now remembering to ask you this, and it comes perfectly right now. What about the person who can't look at old photo albums, can't look at old Facebook posts or whatever the case may be, memories?
Okay.
Because they're still hurting so much. Would you, and some people, old wedding albums, I mean, they pitch them or they burn them or they, whatever the case may be, through a divorce. You know what I'm saying? Tell me about that as far as therapy is concerned.
Well, you know, if it's hurting you to do it, then don't do it.
Okay.
You know, you'll know as you heal when you can start to look at those things without feeling torn wide open.
Right.
You know, we may still see that scar of that pain, but we're not feeling we're bleeding out.
Right.
When we look at it. So if it's hurting you, don't do it.
Okay.
Don't. It's okay to
don't force yourself
up,
to do it.
Put them to the side and leave them until you've worked more through your healing process.
Because that question came up, and I'm glad we
And we talk about everyone grieves and heals differently. And if it hurts, by all means, put it to the
side.
Don't force yourself to keep bleeding for the sake of having to grieve away somebody thinks you should.
So there's no set way to heal.
No.
This is a point I want to make on this show tonight, because everybody's different. The intensity of the relationship that is gone, whether it's through death or divorce or whatever, is different for different people, right?
It absolutely is different for different people.
So I kept hearing you say last week, and I want to make this point again, cut yourself some slack, for heaven's sake.
Yes. Yes, be good to you. You know, it's funny, we can be very patient with anybody else going through a difficult time. We just can't be patient with ourselves.
Right. So, and if it's good for you to talk about it, then find somebody you trust and talk about it, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Do what you need to do to help you heal.
Okay, we got to go back to perspective in a minute, and we got a lot more to cover. We're not going anywhere. We're just going to have some cool music.
Megan, an independent ambassador for Plexus, the pink drink. There is finally a healthy solution to help you lose weight. It's a most natural product that will burn fat, not muscle. People around the country are experiencing amazing results, and you can too. Check out my independent ambassador website for my contact info, testimonials, and product information at mkramer, K-R-A-M-E-R, dot myplexus, P-L-E-X-U-S, products.com.
Prompt professional service is what you will receive when you allow Marcia McAllister of Charles Rettenberg Realty to help find that perfect home or list your home for sale. With over 23 years of experience in the Tampa Bay area, you will enjoy a smooth transaction from start to finish. Call Marcia today at 727-417-0707. Now is a great time to buy or sell a home. Call Marcia McAllister at
727-417-0707. They say that breaking up is hard to do. Now I know that it's true. Don't say that this is the end. Instead of breaking up, I wish that we were making up again. I beg.
That reminds me of high school. But you know what? That was the 50s, wasn't it?
Oh, I'm sure it was. But that was a fun song.
That was a great song. Yes. I remember breaking up with some people in high school. Yeah. Do you remember that, Doctor? Yes. All right.
Yes, I do.
Fun song. Okay. Perspective. Let's talk about it. Because our topic, if you're just now joining Go Yard tonight, is all about moving forward after heartbreak, whether it's a loss of a relationship as far as a love relationship or the death or just a friendship loss or whatever. And before we talk more about this, I want to remind people one more time, because we are on StarcomRadioNetwork.com every weekend. This show airs at 12 noon Eastern, Saturday and Sunday every weekend. But this weekend coming up, this weekend, you ready, Bobby, with your sound effects? This weekend coming up is our marathon weekend. Yes. From 4 p.m. to 8 a.m., 16 hours, Saturday night and Sunday night. They are airing straight through, no commercial breaks. That's crazy.
Wow.
No commercial breaks. They're alternating this show with our Sunday afternoon show. And so it is 16 hours of us. and that is this weekend coming up. StarcomRadioNetwork.com. Four words. StarcomRadioNetwork.com on your computer. 32 hours of us. Wow.
Wow.
Mind-boggling.
It is.
I can't listen to 32 hours.
You
got.
You have. That's the kicker. You have to sit there and listen to all of it.
I rarely listen to any of our shows over because I don't have time. But anyway, okay, we are on a good topic tonight. I think a very helpful topic. Moving on after heartbreak.
And you are right. Perspective is really a key. And so keeping in mind that it's hard to have heartbreak. It is difficult to have heartbreak, but this can be an opportunity as well.
Yes.
And so looking for those opportunities, an opportunity to discover a new you, an opportunity for you to grow, an opportunity for you to work on a healthier relationships and a healthier you. So
don't you think sometimes, let's assume we're talking about a relationship now and somebody has left you and you're there, whether it's through divorce or separation or whatever the case may be. Don't you think a lot of times it's hard to work on the relationship when you're together?
It can be really challenging.
I knew you were going to say can be.
Oh, you know, that's my word.
Can be, Bobby.
Because some people can do it very successfully.
Right.
And some people cannot.
Right.
And part of that is we get skewed when we're in it. We put on, you know, the relationship glasses, and it's hard to see things objectively to work on it.
All right.
And so those add some challenges, especially when you're living together and those add the daily rut and grind down. It's really kind of hard to step back and focus on the quality of this relationship.
And a lot of times we are in a mode of blaming the other person.
Can be.
Right?
And it's hard to see our own responsibilities in
exactly.
that.
Exactly. And so sometimes it, I mean, in other words, I'm trying to get to the point that if that has happened to you and you're fresh out of a relationship and you're struggling and whatever, look at this as a positive thing that now you can work on you. That's the point I'm trying to get to.
And that's how you move forward.
Right.
Yeah, we've talked about, you know, healing heartbreak, but there's the moving part of this segment. Moving forward, the only way you can do this is working on you.
Right. Because when that's my point was when you stay with somebody during all this, a lot of times it's just one battle after another.
It can be. And so what happens is the successful relationships who can navigate it while they're still in the relationship, they still have to take that my perspective approach.
Right.
What
yeah.
is my responsibility? What can I do different? Not worrying about the other person.
That's a good way to look at it. So if you're in that situation and you're still living in the same place with your spouse or whatever, you can look at this as a time to work on yourself and still be living in that situation.
And you can still be in it. It's a little more tricky because there's that day-to-day grind and other things that happen. But I cannot change anybody else.
Right.
And a lot of times people get in relationships, especially girls, I find females, they get into relationships thinking they're going to be able to change the other person.
Right.
And it's not happening.
Right.
You know, there's an old Adam when we were talking, learning about marriage counseling, you know, girls get in relationships to try and change the guy and the guys get in relationships and they want everything to stay the same.
Right.
And neither one of those things are going to happen. So we need to work on changing me.
Exactly.
You know, and at the end, if this relationship grows closer, then great. And at the end, I've become healthier and this isn't, then you have more tools to work with.
Right.
And so that's kind of the perspective to go into this with.
So if you're in that, if that happens to be your situation right now and you're still living in the same home and you're working on your relationship, our advice, doctor's advice here, is to try to get the perspective on yourself. What can I do? How can I grow through this right now? And quit pointing the finger at the other person because only they can change them.
Absolutely. We can each only change ourselves. And so
even though we think we can change the other person.
We want to be able to change everybody,
I
think.
We do, don't we? Yes.
We're so into everybody else's business. We're not minding our own. And, you know, when I tell people, quit looking out the window and start looking in the mirror, because that's really what that's about.
Oh, that's profound. Yeah. You got to do that again because Bobby has some sound effects for that.
Quit looking out the window and start looking in the mirror.
Mm-hmm. There you go. That's a bell ringer right there.
So we start by working towards the changes that you need to make for you.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, so that's kind of looking at myself. Am I communicating effectively? Am I, you know, how am I feeling? How can I manage, you know, what's healthy, what's not healthy, you know, and kind of looking at some of that for you and making some of those changes.
Oh, absolutely. I think we touched on this last week, but I want to talk more about it now because I'm a little older than you, just a couple years. And the thing of seasons in our lives, and I know we touched on it, but I think a lot of people, I know the day I got married, I was 20 years old, and I was in it for life. I was crazy in love, and I mean, I was in it for life. And I know, you know, a lot of people, that's how they got married. They didn't get married because, oh, this is a convenient financial arrangement. It was because they were in love, you know?
Correct.
And you look down the road 15, 20 years later, and it's breaking up or it has broken up, and you're like shocked.
Yes.
I want you to address that. I want you to address that.
You know, and I think there are a lot of people who go in thinking, okay, this is it. This is my life partner here.
Sure.
And it is a devastation when it ends. But through that course, we change, we grow, you know, especially when we get into relationships young and we haven't even really figured out who I am yet.
Right.
How can I figure out who we are when I don't know I? And that's kind of an important thing to know who you are as an individual when you're coming into relationships.
Right.
And so this is that opportunity for you to learn to grow for yourself.
So let's say it's 20 years down the road. You're now divorced. Mm-hmm. You didn't want the divorce,
no.
Let's say. Okay?
Okay.
You wanted to stay married. You were hoping it would work out. It didn't. Counseling, whatever. And here you are at that new place in life where you're single, which feels weird. I remember that feeling. Gosh, that felt weird. And you are no longer invited to those parties as a couple. Maybe you're left out. And maybe you find out that he or she is going and you're not. Bad feeling. Done that. And here you are at this new threshold. And it's a new season.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time that it's a brand new season right then, a lot of people that are going through it don't see it that way. It's just so much pain.
And it is.
It's awkward.
It is, and it is awkward, and there's a
weird.
Lot. You can throw a million words out there
because yes.
it is all of those
I've
things.
I've lived through it. It just is all
And
that.
This is why it's really important for you to make a support network of not couples friends, not friends we had as a couple together,
right.
but me. About, you know, friends that are in it with me, that we can take this journey together, and having those individual friendships. Because that's an important support. It's important to kind of start looking at, who am I?
Right.
What do I like? What don't I like? You know, this sounds silly. Oh, well, of course, you know, I remember having a journal entry in my middle 30s going, who am I and what do I even like? What restaurant do I really like to go to? Because you get so used to someone else's habits and doing something to please someone else or, you know, to keep things smooth in a relationship. And sometimes we get lost in that.
Right.
And so this is a great opportunity just to kind of discover
Rebirth
yourself
in a way.
A little
yeah,
bit.
It is.
And that's an opportunity in itself. And as you know, you'll learn to do things different, you know, especially if this was a marriage, because now you might not have had to take the financial responsibility
right.
of paying bills. And now you got to figure out how I have to pay these bills and how to manage my money. And how do I make these phone calls that my partner did for me? Or how do I cook dinners that my other, you know, my wife used to do for me? Or how do I do homework with kids or whatever? You're going to have to learn
right.
to do things different.
Right.
And so start learning those skills.
It's a new season.
It's a new season. And through those skills, you'll gain a strength that you didn't even know you had.
And if you look at those things, instead of feeling sorry for yourself, which I've talked to a lot of people through the years that took that position, feeling sorry for themselves. But if you take the position, all right, this may not be the cards I thought I was dealt, but they're here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's reality and it's happened and here I am. Then it's a matter of making the best of where you are in that current situation, right?
Absolutely. It's making the best. It's making the best of each moment.
Right.
You know, we can't look at the big picture. You know, a lot of people are like, oh my gosh, what's my life going to look like in 5 years? Or, you know, am I going to be in the retirement home all by myself? To, you know, they just start awfulizing
right.
and catastrophizing
oh,
down.
Oh, yeah. Oh, those words. I remember
those
words. We haven't talked about those words for a while, Bobby.
But,
awfulizing and catastrophizing.
And they do. And I'm yeah. like, let's just think about this moment
right
here, right now.
Right.
And it is an opportunity
keep
to
your
kind
thoughts
of grow
in
as a person in a different way. And it's challenging. It's not going to be easy. But as we do it, you'll learn that you can do it. And sometimes it's finding a person who can help you learn how to do it because you don't even know that you don't know how to do it right or the way it needs to be done. And so this is an opportunity for growth. And that's that working on you phase.
Okay, let's talk about that. So some helpful suggestions, okay? The person, let's say, who's not been the cook in the family, it can be husband or wife.
Mm,
I know
true.
People that the husband's the cook.
Yeah. Okay? Cooking is not gender specific.
No, it's not. But it's time to do some new things. Sign up for a cooking class.
Yeah. Go to the Publix. They have the Blue Apron. They teach you how to make all kinds of
oh,
meals
really?
In like 30 minutes or
really?
Whatever.
The
yes,
Blue Apron.
That is great.
Bobby, yes, okay. I didn't
but
know you knew that.
But that's a great opportunity.
Well, you always get samples, so you got to know that.
I mean, I know for me, when I went through my divorce, like finances, like I had no aspect of that in the marriage. I took finance classes. How do you manage money? How do you budget? How do you
Excellent
sound simple?
Suggestion.
I had no idea
Excellent.
How to do it.
Yes.
And you will laugh because my financial classes was on Oprah. She did a whole series with Susie Orman on Oprah. And I sat there every week with my notepad writing down how to
oh,
do
that's
these
cool.
things. But that's how I learned. And so there are great tools to learn to fill some of those gaps that we have.
That is an excellent idea. Let's talk about more ideas, okay? So that's how to help manage your finances, cooking. Okay, good ideas. How about something you've always wanted to do, but you never had the time and the kids were so little and you couldn't do it? My granddaughter and her husband and the babies did something the other night that I thought was just so cute. They found out that at Astro Skate on Sunday between 3 and 5, you can skate for a dollar.
Aww.
And so the twins are three, and they and Taylor used to work in a roller skating rink as a teenager. Okay, so they went, and these babies are cute little videos. They're flying around the floor, you know, in their skates, and they're falling all over the place. But it's a memory, and it's something that they did together, and you know, it's a new event. It's what I'm pointing at.
Right, try something,
it was something new.
try something new.
And she said, boy, that was fun. You know, I didn't think I would ever enjoy going to a roller skating rink, but it was actually fun.
You know, and it's funny because, you know, especially marriages, but when they break up, you have very limited financial resources
at
times.
Yes.
And it can help you be more creative. And, you know, the internet is a cool tool. Get on and Google, like, free stuff in my area.
Right.
And you will find things you didn't even know existed. Right. And to go and enjoy that. You
State
know,
parks. I used to do that in Indiana
gardens
with my kids.
And light shows around the holidays. And we learned to make new traditions that didn't focus around the financial burden.
Right.
So that we could still find pleasurable things to do.
And it's a new season.
It is. It's a new season. And you know what? Google could be your best friend in this new season.
Because right.
it can help you find some resources you're lacking.
Right.
And so use that. Use that tool.
You know, one of the things that occurs to me with that suggestion is something you talk about a lot is making family traditions, whether that means now you're a different looking family because there's been a divorce or separation mm-hmm. or whatever, but creating traditions, right?
Absolutely. You know, that's funny you mentioned it because it's one of the first things I did when I set up my home after my divorce was we're going to make our family rules. And by rules, I meant this is the spirit of this house. We are going to love each other. We're going to laugh. We're going to be kind. We're going to
wow.
be patient. And this is how we're going to be under this roof and set the stage. And we made new traditions.
And your three sons, I've got to say, are some of the best young men I've ever been around. And they are well behaved, well taught, very industrious, very successful
oh,
young
thank
men.
Thank you. They're wonderful guys.
I mean, Spencer's only 13. He's still a kid. But Joey's in college, and Anthony's in the Army in Alaska. I mean, but this is cool because this was not something.
And if you didn't have traditions, this is a great time to make traditions. And they can be silly stuff. And that's where we're getting outside the box. And really want to just focus on being the best me that I can be.
Oh, I like that. Write that down, audience. That is really, really good. Being the best me I can be. Thank you, Bobby.
I'm focused on being the best me I can be. I don't have time to worry about what somebody else is doing,
right.
who they're with, why they're still not with me. I'm just working on me. And
but
being
you know
the best
what?
Me.
To that point, I have counseled a whole lot of people, and I know you have too through the years, Doctor, that when there's the separation or the divorce, they become obsessed with the drama of their ex. And they are now, that makes it worse with social media. But back when I was divorced, it was the rumor mill and it was on the phone. And oh, I saw him out to dinner with, you know.
Absolutely. And so there is a whole host of people trying to do the changes just to kind of get the person to come back.
Oh, yeah.
They want him back so bad.
That's fake change.
It's not real change. And when we're looking back, we're not going forward.
That's right.
And so don't get stuck. Looking back keeps us stuck. It's like concrete shackles you're putting on your feet.
Right.
Move forward. If I'm becoming the best me I can become, maybe we will reconnect at some point in our life. And I've seen that happen with people where they've separated.
Yeah.
They both started working on who they were. They didn't get the marriage back they had before. They had a healthy one.
A better one.
Into a new
I have seen that
style
too.
Of relationship. I've
right.
watched it happen. But it's not going to happen if I'm too focused over what this other person is doing.
Right.
I need to just focus on being the best me, being the best parent, being the best, you know, me. And whatever those
moves
are.
Moving on after heartbreak means that I am doing that. I am action. I am doing things different maybe than I've done before. Not
right.
doing the same old habit patterns.
And start getting excited about your future. Instead of thinking all the things you're losing or you're not going to have, start thinking about the things you do have and start getting excited about some of these new changes in your future. Because
right.
you do have a future. If you're breathing, you have a future.
That's right.
And start getting excited.
And change can be good. Change can be good.
Absolutely. And so it just can help us kind of reinvent our life a little bit differently. And looking at that, if you want to get in another relationship, this is a great time to raise your standards.
Oh, that's a good point.
Who do you want as a partner?
Don't go back with the same problems. But do you know, Doctor, and I know you know this.
Yes, I do.
You know what I'm about to say?
I do.
People that have been married to an alcoholic, let's say, statistics show, correct? They almost always find somebody just like that again
yep.
and do it again.
Same problems, different name.
Right. Why?
That's how it works. Because they didn't heal and grow forward.
and realize they wanted to go back to the familiar.
Right.
They wanted to go back what's comfortable. And even though they would tell you, oh, no, I don't want to go back to those same old problems. But subconsciously, it was familiar.
It's what they know. And so that's not growing forward. And what we need to do is, when we get into a relationship, especially, you know, an intimate partnership with someone, it needs to be out of our abundance. It's about what we have extra in us, not out of our deficits. When we go in a relationship because I need your financial, I need this emotional support, then what we're doing is setting it up to fail.
Yeah, right.
And so if I'm coming in with my abundance to this, I can take care of myself. I can financially support. We may not have what we want, all the things we want, but we are surviving.
Right.
Then I'm coming. That's a more healthy approach. And so raise your standards. Who do you want to be with? What kind of person? What qualities are you looking for?
Right.
What attributes really are do you value in a relationship?
And it's okay to set those down on in writing or whatever.
Yes.
And if a person is not anything like that, why get started with
it? Don't even. You know, and it's funny because we make the checklist, and I'll work with people at this stage, and we make a recipe of what kind of partner we're looking for. And as they start dating, we start going down the checklist. Well, does it meet this? Does it meet? And then we rate it by importance. Because some things you would like to have, but it's they're not the most important.
Oh, so you actually do this
in
therapy.
We do this. And we start rating their dates on their list so they can start saying, yeah, no, this one's not meeting a top priority that's really important. Like, you know, they don't value having children or whatever. And I have kids. Well,
that's
not one
to
go forward with.
Right.
And so we will process it. And this is a great opportunity to help you.
I've seen through the years and listened to is people who end up finding the same type of person who doesn't keep a job.
True.
You know what I mean?
And so if that's
something
you're looking for,
then they become the caretaker again and again and again. Right.
Absolutely. And so this is a great opportunity to kind of raise your standards for your relationships.
Take your time.
Gosh, yes.
But doctor, I've seen it and you've seen it. People are emotionally hurting when a relationship ends or a divorce happens or whatever the case may be. And very often there's rebounding that happens.
There is rebounding. And here's the thing. When
you want to describe that to somebody who may not know what we're talking about?
Rebounding is when we just jump into another relationship without letting the previous one heal and let us grow us forward. And so we're on the rebound. And what happens when you look at divorce statistics, divorce for first marriage is about 50%, give or take a few percentages there. On second marriages is about 75%.
Oh, my gosh. Really?
Didn't know. Because you know what they're doing is they're jumping in and they haven't healed and they didn't grow forward. Now, when I find people who have healed and grown forward, those second marriages are incredibly strong and incredibly satisfying and incredibly happy. So what we're seeing is the majority of people are just jumping back into something without healing and growing forward.
Because they are so...
They're out of their need instead of out of their abundance.
They're
and so
hurting.
When
they're
we
hurting.
Take those time to do these, we will have a way better quality. And I've seen, second marriages, I see one or two extremes. Either it's going down the same trail, just a little different path of the previous marriage, or they've really got it together and it's amazing example of what a relationship could be.
Wow. And you know what? That should be encouraging to our audience. There is life after divorce.
There
and
is.
I've had to say that many, many times to people in counseling. There is life. You've got to discover what that is for you. And that's the exciting, challenging thing of this though, doctor. If we look at this heartbreak as, okay, it happened, I'm going to move forward from this. What can I learn from it? How can I grow from it? How can I have a better relationship on down the road?
Mm-hmm. And take your time.
You can't emphasize that enough.
Grieving is a process that's different for everyone, and it takes time. There's no rules to it. You have to grieve the way you grieve and what your heart needs. Take your time. But we want to keep moving forward.
Right.
Meaning we want to keep growing. Doesn't mean we need to move forward and jump into something else, but I need to start working on being a better me.
Right.
And so moving forward in that way. And so we want to make sure when we're entering a new relationship that it's out of our excess, not out of our need.
That's just huge. Because if we're just wanting somebody to meet some place in us that is needy,
mm-hmm.
it won't last.
So people who have like the fears of being alone, or they feel like time is running out, you know, the biological clock is ticking, or they're doomed to fail in those relationships. It's going to crash and fall.
I've seen it many times.
What is that crash and fall going to look like? So dating should be the seasoning to your life, not the basis of your life. So it is adding the seasoning to the meal
you have. That's a bell ringer. Well, I'm going to make her say that again. There you go, Bobby. Okay. It should be the seasoning
to your life. It's the spice to your life. It's not the basis of your life.
Right. Right. So, and in any relationship between two people, there's going to be differences of opinion. There's going to be different ways. And there's going to be reactions based on past relationships. Wouldn't you advise people to not be talking about the past relationship a lot?
Yes, we don't want to do that. When we've healed,
you know what I'm saying?
We're not going to do that. We'll be able to talk appropriately as we share history with somebody that they need to know, but it's not a focus of it because we will crumble the current one. We'll blame them, or we'll start looking for the same faulty things that happened
before. You're just like he was.
And comparative statements, and we are hurting that new relationship. And so, when you've healed, you're not doing that, though.
Right.
And that's how you know when you've healed. You know you healed when you don't have that excessive pain and need for that person that you were in that relationship with. When your heart has learned it hurt, it was sad, and it's going to be okay.
Right. So there is life after a breakup. There's life after a death of a good friend, whatever, a family member. And you got to go slow. And figure it out for yourself and realize you're in a new season. Go ahead, help me summarize. You're in a new season. Let's make the best of it, the most of it.
And through the whole thing, be good to you.
So take time for you.
Yes.
Pursue new hobbies, new things.
Take care of yourself. Be patient with yourself.
Get
Learn
new friends.
About yourself.
Develop new friends, right?
Mm-hmm. Build that support. Absolutely.
Right. And if you need somebody to talk to, you need a therapist, find a good one and go.
It's a good thing to do.
Right. It's a good thing.
It'd be a great self place to help you learn how to start reflecting some of this for yourself.
And journal is just amazing. When you can look back and see progress you've made too is really cool.
It is. And if you don't like to write, I get that all the time. I hate to write. It's fine. Don't write. Then do a voice journal.
Sure.
Do
on your phone. Yeah.
Something that helps you to express what you're going through. Some people will draw. Some people, have all kinds of different ways of expressing it, and that's fine too.
Right.
I had someone who came in with this word like journal that they took this composition book and would chop out words out of magazines and just glue it, and that was expressing that moment for them, and they dated that, and that would be a word, just a word from, they didn't even write it came from a magazine.
Whoa.
But it was an amazing journey of what they were going through.
Wow. We've given you a lot of good ideas last week and this week. Next week, we start a new topic. Don't forget that we will be on Starcom Radio Network this weekend, Saturday and Sunday, for a 16-hour marathon, 4 p.m. to 8 a.m., both Saturday and Sunday. This show and our Sunday show are going to alternate, so try to catch some of those best of shows, StarcomRadioNetwork.com. And we will start a new topic next week, and we have no idea what it is. And so it'll be great. If you have a suggestion, you can email us, goyard2014@gmail.com, or text us 727-888-4171. This has been
Dr. Angel
and Mama Mac bringing you Go Yard. See you next week, gang.
Good night.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF, Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR, Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.